ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Food.
When it comes to baked goods, that's breads and biscuits and cakes, well, we often don't usually see them as great for your health. I mean, they're delicious. That's why we're eating them. Rather, we usually regard them as calorie-packed and sugar-laden and best left as, I don't know whether it's an occasional treat, but perhaps in that category, apart from bread, perhaps. Teresa Cutter is a classically trained pastry chef and nutritionist, and she's felt that baked goods didn't need to be anathema to a healthy diet, but by using wise ingredient swaps and clever variations tailored to modern dietary requirements, such as gluten-free and low sugar and vegetarian and low carb and so on, it's possible to tuck into a whole range of savoury and sweet baked goods without feeling too guilty. Teresa is known as the Healthy Chef, and she's put together 100 new recipes in her latest book, Feel Good Baking, and she's with us now. Teresa, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hey, good evening, Phil. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Baked goods do imply carbs and sugar and fats, because I mean, these are the things that taste good.
Yeah, they are, you know, but they can taste good but be good for you, so you feel good after eating them, not sick and bloated.
Yes, that's the whole point. Yes. That's the whole point. I mean, how do you get a strawberry galette or a pear and almond tart, though, to be guilt-free, do you think?
Oh, you know what? Just by using or subbing really good ingredients, like with a pear and almond tart, you know, just using really good quality ingredients and halving the sugar as well. That's a big thing in baking, I think, you know, with
all
the
cakes. Well, you reckon it's too much?
I think most recipes out there have way too much sugar. I think you'd have much success if you were to get any banana bread recipe or any recipe for a cake. Cut the sugar in half, and honestly, you won't notice the difference all that much. It tastes better. So, you know, and using better quality fats, you know, like, you know, for instance, the chocolate cake or the carrot cake I've got, you know, using healthy olive oils, or if you're going to use butter, use a good quality butter, because there is room for butter in baking and pastry goods, because it adds the flakiness to a pastry.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's true. But butter and sugar together, don't they have a? They have, I mean, they lend a structure and a flavour to baked goods.
Sure.
But you're saying that olive oil is not really a substitute for it, is it? For
no, look, sometimes it depends. In a cake, yeah, you can get away with it. But, you know, in a pastry as well, I've got a gorgeous olive oil short crust pastry in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But in some things, you know, you need a little bit of butter, like for a crumble, for instance, you know, but using quality ingredients, I think, is the key as well. So making sure, and also the sugars, making sure though they're not raw, white, refined sugars, maybe a little bit more wholesome, like a rapadura or a raw sugar, or even sugars such as, you know, honey or some maple syrup and that are less refined, but a little bit better for your health.
Yeah, are they in fact, are they, well, are the brown, a brown, is brown sugar, for well, example, healthier than white
I
sugar?
I think it's more of a whole foods sense, you know, so using things that are less refined. So for instance, you know, and even putting more fruits and vegetables into your baking. So when I make an apple cake, for instance, or an apple pie, I load it up with apples, you know, not one or two, or like a banana bread or a carrot cake. I've got half a kilo of carrots in a carrot cake, not like one or two carrots, and then the rest is just all white flour and sugar. So I think it's the ingredients you use and the purpose that you use them with. I think it all has a rounded effect on the quality results. You don't want to be, it's not about being too extreme. It's about just making those little tweaks to the recipes so they work, but they still taste delicious and they're like everyone loves them.
You've got a recipe for what you call a better pavlova. Which doesn't have so much sugar. See, when I've made pavlovas, I mean, they're very simple things to make, really. You whip up egg whites, but with sugar, but then to stiff peaks and then pretty much bake it.
That's pretty much
true. There's not much else in it.
That's pretty much true. But it's like and the sugar adds the structure.
It does. You couldn't make it without sugar.
No, you can't. I've tried like 10 or 20 times on making in different variations. You still need that sugar. But I've cut the sugar by about, I'd say, like a quarter of a cup of that. But I've also, instead of, you know, loading it up with cream, I've used a little bit of Greek yogurt in there as well. So half cream, half yogurt. Just it lightens it up, adds a bit of a tanginess as well, so adds a bit of freshness. So just little tweaks, you know, you don't have to go too obsessive, but it tastes amazing. It's fantastic with mango or seasonal fruits or strawberries or whatever fruits you want to put on top.
Yes, I hope it doesn't go flat. Because the sugar keeps it upright, doesn't it?
It won't go flat because what I've actually done, I've actually warmed, in this recipe here in particular, the secret to a good pavlova as well. It's not like I warm the sugar and the egg whites in a bain-marie first. So just to dissolve the sugar fully through the egg whites. So when you warm it through and then when you whip it, it just whips up really, really stiff and hard. It's fantastic. It adds so much great structure to the actual mix itself. That's a big secret, you know, not just starting cold egg whites from scratch and adding the sugar to the egg whites. Warming it is the key.
I'm very partial to an orange cake, and you've got your orange and olive oil tea cake.
You know what? You've got to make this one, Phil.
Okay,
It is. If you're going to make a cake, if there was one cake that I make like on a regular basis when someone, you know, when friends come over or whatever, it's the orange olive oil tea cake.
Tell me how you go through this.
Well, it's only a few ingredients. You've got a good flour. I've got a spelt flour in there, but a good, you know, unrefined flour. You've got olive oil, half a cup of olive oil, half a cup of honey, couple of eggs, cup of milk, and pretty much that's it. Mix it all together. It's a one bowl cake. Throw it in the oven in a loaf tin or a 20 centimetre cake tin, and it comes out so beautiful and delicious. And honestly, it'll keep for a week in the fridge, and you can just, you know, slice it up, eat it, and it's fantastic just for, you know, whether just for a morning afternoon tea or, you know, you can even use it as a trifle for Christmas as the base. It is insane. It is fantastic.
Oh, I usually make mine with almond meal.
Fantastic.
Is that okay? That's reasonably healthy, isn't it?
Almond meal is great. I love it. And you could even make that gluten-free with the orange olive oil cake. You can sub almond meal and it works wonderfully well. So it works really. I've got a lot of almond milk cakes and flourless gluten-free cakes in this book. So purely because, you know, it just adds, the almonds add the moisture, don't they? And it's all lovely
and
gorgeous.
That's right. It stays moist. That's right.
It stays moist.
Apple crumble's an all-time favourite, isn't it? Tell me about making a good crumble.
Oh, the crumble, I think, is in two things. I love to use Pink Lady apples my apple crumble.
Mm-hmm. You don't use Granny Smith's?
No, I think they're way too tart. Mm. And I think, you know, the Pink Ladies hold their shape a lot more. I make all my apple pies and the apple crumbles using Pink Ladies. I think I developed this recipe when I had the Healthy Chef Cafe in Avalon Beach about 15, 20 years ago, really. This day, but it's and they also have a natural sweetness. So really all you need is a little squeeze of lemon and orange, maybe a little splash of maple. You don't need much sugar in the filling itself because they're naturally so sweet. And Fuji apples are a good one as well. But the Pink Lady still have the tartness, I think, but yet still have a sweetness to them as well. And then the crumble is pretty much just almond meal, some rice flour to make it gluten-free, and a little bit of raw sugar and butter. And sprinkled over the top, baked. And you can change it, like instead of apple, you can use apricots, you can use peaches or berries, whatever's in season, especially this time of year. You can make it all fresh and light and summery. Mm.
And there's a nice recipe for honey and vanilla madeleines as well. Madeleines are delicious. If you've ever been to a cafe where they make them to order pretty much, then you'll know how delicious they are straight out of the oven.
You've got to eat them fresh, don't you? You've got to eat them
Really put them in a cupboard, can you?
No, you really can't. You know, I've tried to keep them fried for a few days. And so, look, mine keep well, you know, maybe a couple of days, but really nothing beats, you know, like eating it straight out of the oven or on the same day. And honestly, you can, I've, you know, the next day or in a couple of days, like coming closer to Christmas, you can even dunk them into some coffee and make a tiramisu out of it if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's an idea. I saw that in your book that you say you could use this as an alternative to make a tiramisu, which is spectacularly unhealthy, but it's really good.
I've got a better version for tiramisu, actually.
How do you do that?
I'm not a big fan of mascarpone. I really aren't.
Tell me why.
It's just too heavy and rich. I like using ricotta instead.
Right.
And it's just a bit lighter on the palate. and then like on the palate, and then I fold through a heap of egg whites. I still make my zabaglione and you know the eggs and everything else, but I fold through the eggs as well as the egg white, and that makes it so light and
fresh.
So you
use the egg white. So when I've made when I made it, I only use egg yolks, but you use the whites as well.
I use the whites as well, and I make a sabayon first. You know, so I beat the egg yolks with a bit of masala as well, and I cook it on the stove, so it sort of like cooks the egg yolks, so it's nice and thick and gorgeous, and you're adding that to the ricotta, but then you're whipping the egg whites up really, really stiff, and you're folding that through as well, so you're doubling that volume, and honestly, it is beautiful, and I've also made it with cottage cheese, and it works beautiful as well.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
You're still including the coffee-soaked biscuits, I'm sure.
Oh, of course, of course, of course, but just a little bit lighter, so it's not as rich and, you know, sickly, so you only need a spoonful, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm. Teresa Cutter's with us, and her book called Feel Good Baking is, well, it's designed to make you feel good because the things are delicious, but along the way they're also healthy for you as well. Where do you stand on cream, Teresa?
I love it. There's a purpose with everything, you know. So where it's needed, for sure. If I was making a really beautiful sponge cake, like I love a good strawberry and vanilla sponge cake, you know, like anyone does. Strawberries and cream, fantastic, you know. I think it's all about the 80-20 rule, Phil.
What's that?
You know, 80% great and good, and 20%, you know, you can have your indulgence, you know, have your chocolate, have your cream, have all your other things, you know what I mean? I think it's a balance that you've got to have for the rest of your life. Otherwise, it's sustainable that way. You know, I always live by that 80-20 rule for anything. I always do.
All right. Then we run into the immovable elephant, of course, which is the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Which everyone loves a chocolate cake, a well-made chocolate cake. Although they can be too rich and sickly sometimes, I think.
They can be, and this is a bit of a big claim, the world's healthiest chocolate cake.
That's what your recipe is called. It's called the world's healthiest chocolate cake. Well, you know, we're not going to, I mean, you can make that claim. Chocolate cake, bakers turn up at Teresa's place if you think you can do better. We'll put this recipe up on our website because it's a cracker.
Oh, look, it is. You've got to make it, Phil. You've got to make it for yourself and your family.
So I'm looking through it. Tell me the ingredients. So you've got, there's no butter.
There's no butter in this. It's a lovely dairy-free one as well, and it's a gluten-free one. But you pretty much start off by mixing olive oil, some almond milk, maple syrup, some eggs, and a bit of baking powder and really good quality dark cocoa powder. It's got to be the dark, you know, like a Valrhona style or a Calabo style of cocoa powder. And an almond meal. It's pretty much, it's a one bowl, throw it in type of cake. It's a real runny, wet mix. And the secret to a good chocolate cake as well is when you bake it in a moderate oven for about half an hour or so. But the secret is just to undercook it for 5 minutes or so it's still soft and squidgy and moist inside. That's a really good key. And the frosting pretty much is like my signature avocado frosting, which is, it's lightened up a bit as well. It's got avocados, a bit of maple, and it's got a bit of yogurt in there as well. I've used some coconut yogurt and some dark cocoa powder, but I can also, sometimes if I want a firmer mousse for that frosting, I'll melt a 90% lint chocolate or something like that, you know, good quality dark chocolate, and I throw that in the mix, and it helps to firm it up a little bit extra as well. Adds a bit of lushness to the whole cake, and it is beautiful.
I know your husband took the photographs and their beauties, and his photograph of this chocolate cake certainly has made me want to tuck in.
Oh, you're going to want to. And you know what? With one slice, you're going to feel really good. You're going to feel fantastic. You will, Phil. You will feel fantastic.
She's good, isn't she? Teresa Cutter's been our guest. We'll put the world's healthiest chocolate cake recipe up on our website. Thank you, Teresa. It's terrific.
Your book is
great. It looks great too.
Thank you so much.
Now, Feel Good Baking, a healthier way to bake for you and your family.
Great.
Cut down the sugar, people. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.